Welcome to the People Leaders Podcast, the audio resource for managers and business leaders creating high-performing teams. Join leadership and team development experts Jan and Michelle Turkelson each week as they explore both subjects from every angle. Through practical tips, valuable insights, and compelling interviews with leadership experts around the world, you'll learn how to bring out the best in your staff and how to give your best as a leader.
So hello, everyone. Welcome to People Leaders Podcast. I'm really looking forward to this episode in particular as I get to ask questions and learn from an expert. So without any further ado, I'd like to introduce you to Jenna Hollow, a multi-award-winning hypnotherapist and intuitive mindset coach. And she uses subconscious reprogramming and intuitive mentorship to help leaders, coaches, and other service providers really break free from self-sabotage, overwork, and also overwhelm. And as we know, this year our focus is on new and emerging leaders. And for this particular episode, Jenna is going to share with us some really interesting strategies so we don't actually feel overwhelmed when perhaps we are still overworked. So welcome, Jenna.
Thank you. Nice to meet you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. So when we first started looking at this interview, you know, what really piqued my interest is the notion on limiting beliefs, because, you know, our limiting beliefs are such a foundation of, you know, our behaviors and that. So I'd like to ask you, like, where do you think limiting beliefs come from? You know, what are they?
Yeah, it's such a good question. Limiting beliefs. Well, I'll go right back to the beginning. Our brain, when we are a child, we are programming our mind. So we're not born with a set of programs. You know, we literally learn everything. We learn how to walk, we learn how to talk. And we also learn so much about ourselves and how life works. And we pick that up just being a sponge as a child. We don't have a conscious brain online in our early childhood. So we literally just soak up everything and we form beliefs. Like, we build our understanding as we're growing up and we form beliefs about who we are and our place in the world. Now, unfortunately, we're doing this as a child, so we don't have the maturity to understand context or nuance or big picture things. So, for example, if our parent is super stressed one day and flies off the handle at us, we might form a limiting belief in that moment that, you know, well, whatever the situation is, it's crazy. Like, we can form limiting beliefs on the smallest, most mundane, innocuous circumstances. But because we don't have that maturity to have the big understanding of what is actually going on in that moment, we can form a belief there, right there and then. And that belief can be positive, of course, but if it's a negative belief that holds us back, then it will stay with us. All beliefs stay with us unless we change them, right? But they are formed and they stay in the subconscious mind. So that means that we're not necessarily even conscious of what beliefs we have. And our beliefs, they stay with us into adulthood, and they affect everything, because they affect how we perceive situations, how we feel in situations, the actions that we take, everything. And because it's our subconscious brain that is taking in the world around us all the time and putting it through the filter of, what have I experienced before? What does this kind of thing remind me of subconsciously? And how should I act in this moment? And the reason our brain is doing this is to keep us safe. It only cares about our survival, and it doesn't care about our happiness, our dreams, our confidence, what we want to do to succeed. It doesn't care about any of that. And so this is how the limiting beliefs really completely shape our success and how we are able to show up for our teams and drive our teams forward in everything. And I think what's really pertinent to the people listening to this podcast is, you can feel extremely successful, extremely confident, really at the top of your game in your career, and then somebody sees something in you and you get this responsibility to lead a team, and then suddenly it's like the carpet has been whipped from under your feet and you just lose all of this confidence. Suddenly you feel vulnerable, and it feels so unnerving, because you're like, why do I feel this way? I've always been confident. And that's because you're suddenly you're being put in a new position where you are being made to lead. And that is almost like, if you imagine being an entrepreneur and you've been a really successful, in sales, and then you go and run your own business and you have to sell something and you just can't do it in the same way. It's because you are driving the ship forward, and suddenly all your vulnerabilities come to the surface and can be really, it can be really hard to navigate that, because it's always how we feel that matters, because how we feel affects how we show up and the moves that we make. And how we feel is always governed by the beliefs that we hold in the subconscious mind. So it's hugely important.
And it's interesting because, my sister is we're an identical twin sister. So we had a similar framework around our family, but we're very different based on our beliefs. And it's really interesting, some of her beliefs, I look at her and think, wow, okay, she doesn't have any limiting beliefs around finances and things like that, whereas I have some limiting beliefs around those, and vice versa. So it's really interesting to use her as a mirror around, oh, okay, that's a limiting belief for me, because I can see that it is possible, and she does that for me. So that's a really nice way that we see that. So for other people who don't have twin sisters, how do you actually connect with, so what is a limiting belief for me that's holding me back? How do you know? How can you actually identify them?
Such a good question. And just before we go any further, I have twins too. They're not identical, but yeah, oh, it's just very precious.
Identical?
To be a twin. They're not. I don't know if you can see behind me. I've got one curly, I've got one curly brown-haired one and one blonde straight-haired one. They are so different. The question, what was the question? How can you identify what your limiting beliefs are and what's your next move? It's a really good question. So basically nothing about us. How do I explain this? Any feeling that you have that is less than positive or neutral is a pattern and a program in the subconscious mind. Okay. So if you're in a situation and it's good, it's really important to foster a really good relationship with your body. So you recognize and you're able to feel your emotions, because that's your guide. Your emotions are your guide. And they, like when you're feeling triggered, for example, it's really important that you see that from a place of power, personal power, because it's great. If you're triggered, that's your sign. You've got something to work through there and you can get on and do that. But if you're not in tune with yourself, if you need to do a lot of personal development, basically, then you've got a lot of work to do. But the more you can commit to personal development, the more successful you're going to be. Because the moment that you notice that you feel slightly uncomfortable in a situation, or you have a negative emotion, whatever that may be, you know instantly that that is a pattern and a program. It's not who you are. It's just your wiring. And our brains are neuroplastic. That just means that we can change our brains. We can change them. We can rewire them. And so when you realize that something feels less than positive or neutral, you can just go within and you can say, right, that's interesting. What is making me feel that way? Because ultimately, everything about how we're experiencing the world is a choice. Nothing can, for example, nothing can make us annoyed. We choose to be annoyed. And when we're annoyed, we're triggered, right? So it's showing, it's mirroring something within you to grow through and to heal, basically, because you weren't born that way. You've experienced something in your life that formed a belief, for example, that you're not good enough, or you're not worthy, or people judge you, or whatever it is. That isn't true. It's just something, it's a limiting belief that you formed, and it's unhelpful. Any belief that's limiting is going to be holding you back in some way, because it's triggering you. And our brains do not care about our success or anything. They only care about keeping us safe. So when our subconscious mind detects danger or detects something that we think isn't good enough based on what's we think isn't safe based on what we've experienced before, for example, the chance of promotion, you know, for example, everybody's telling you, you will be amazing for that role. And consciously, you know, you would, but you hold yourself back from ever going for it or ever speaking up in meetings or ever being direct in your communication with that one person in your team that intimidates you a little bit. Whatever it is, you are going to adapt your behavior subconsciously to protect yourself. And the limiting belief doesn't need to be there. And it's the limiting belief that's going to get you to self-sabotage away from the things that consciously you want to create in your life and in your career.
Yeah, I love that, Jenna. You know, there is that the dichotomy of feeling safe but also growing. And when we're growing, that's when we actually have to go beyond what perhaps our feelings are telling us. But, you know, as you said, your emotions are such a good guidance system for us. And I love that notion of any feeling that is less than positive is a program or a pattern. So there you have it. Like, you know, once you actually understand that, oh, okay, something is rising within me, and being really curious and have that sense of inquiry about it, then you can actually have maybe a conversation. So now I've started to identify some limiting beliefs. What can I do about it then?
First of all, you try and work out where it's come from, because any limiting belief that you have, you've gathered in a moment. Okay. So it could be somebody, like if you're nervous of speaking in public, it could be that there's been a comment made by a teacher when you were a child. It might have been very well meant. It might not have been, you know, a mean teacher or anything like that. It might have just been a comment that you misinterpreted, or, you know, just didn't get, you know, you misinterpreted, and therefore you formed a limiting belief. And from my work, it's just absolutely incredible where limiting beliefs come from. So for example, you could be putting your hand up in class as a child and get the answer wrong. And nobody laughs at you. Nobody makes fun of you. The teacher is really kind, says, that's a really interesting point. Let me explain why that's not the case. Or, you know, from an outsider looking in, there's no reason at all why you would see a limiting belief formed in that moment. But if the child feels embarrassed and feels, if they make that, it's not the situations that you live through. It's not the experiences that you have as a child that make you form limiting beliefs. It's what you make those experiences mean about you and your place in the world. So when you're triggered as an adult in life and in your career or whatever, it's good. You just need to work out, where has it come from and what is the limiting belief? Like, if you can write it down and just show, like, see it with your mind's eye and get perspective and be like, okay, that is absolutely not true. And I know exactly where that came from. That was some unkind child that lived on my street, that looking back at that situation as an adult, I can clearly see that that child had a lot of issues, was a bully because they were bullied. They had a, you know, shouty dad or whatever it was. You can see from an adult perspective when you're looking back at that situation why that happened. So therefore, you're basically, what you're doing there is you're bringing something unconscious to the conscious. It's like you're turning the light bulb on and you can see what's going on. And then you've got the power to be like, right, okay, that's absolutely not true. I'm going to choose a different belief. And there's so much power in just deciding and being aware, because when you've made that decision to change that belief, you then need to have that relationship with yourself to work with that new wiring in your brain to enforce that new wiring. You want to make that wiring stronger than the old wiring. So the positive self-talk going on in your mind is super important from that moment onwards, because you want to look for evidence that that new belief that you've chosen is true. And as I think I've said this already, your brain is only wired to be negative because it only cares about your survival. So it's always going to look for the evidence of something that's going to keep you safe. So it's going to look for the negative evidence. So you've got to really work on this. When you decide an a more empowering belief to have, you have to really work on it to look for the evidence of what that's true. And you can keep a diary. You can keep a list of all the evidence that makes that true and go back in time as well. There'll be so much evidence that you have for this new belief that your brain was just disregarded because it wasn't relevant before.
Oh, absolutely. And that notion around collecting evidence. So what we recommend for new and emerging leaders, any feedback, or any especially positive feedback, testimonials, letters from clients about the work that they've done, we ask them to keep a file. And every now and then when they're in that state of, you know, imposter syndrome, or they're not, you know, feeling confident, or they have to actually do something, go back and see how other people see you as well, you know. So that's another way of just boosting that. And I like that idea of that positive self-talk, because you have to be your biggest cheerleader, because the world is around and you're going to find there are going to be opportunities for you to, you know, like challenge that in every facet of your life. But the person who is going to stay with you for your life is you. So why wouldn't you instigate a cheerleader? And we often say to people, you know, you want to talk to yourself like you would your 12-year-old child on a good day. Yes. You know, be really clear and kind and optimistic and things like that. So what is... You can't trace a limiting belief. So you have an awareness, there is an emotion coming up, but, you know, you're trying to, like, is it my imagination that I think it happened, you know, with my teacher or my mother or my father or sister? What if you actually can't land on it, or you're second guessing yourself? Is it important to really identify where it came from, the source?
That's such a good question. And it is really hard to do by yourself. But ultimately, no, you don't have to find the root. You just decide that new belief. And it's harder if you can't find the root cause. I mean, I'd recommend working with a hypnotherapist like myself, or, you know, somebody who works with subconscious reprogramming, because it's the fastest way to do that reprogramming. But ultimately, you don't need to. You can, because our brains are neuroplastic, you get to change them yourself. But it does require effort and consistency and repetition. And exactly like you say, that relationship that you have with yourself is the most important one, because your brain is always listening to you. So if you want to rewire a limiting belief to one that is empowered, you're not going to be able to do it unless you have a positive unless you are your own cheerleader, because your brain's listening to every thought that you have and every word that you say. And that self-talk, that inner dialogue is so, so important. If you want to build yourself up, if you want to feel good, if you want to be able to manage risk and be bold and make bold moves and things, you have to have that good relationship with yourself inside, because you're always there, you know. There's no getting away from your own mind. So your thoughts, like, it's such a game changer when you really have that really positive relationship with yourself. And the thing that I forgot I wanted to say earlier, just coming back to it, is when I said that, you know, your brain only cares about your survival, and that literally is it, nothing else. When it detects that you've hesitated on something, it will know. It will know that that is something that is risky, because anything other than what you're doing without hesitation, you know, for example, you go into the bathroom to brush your teeth, you don't hesitate, you just go in and do it. But if you have a great idea and you don't immediately take action on it, then your brain is going to go, ding, there's a risk here. And so what it then does is it will magnify that risk and give you all of the possible scenarios about why not to do that, you know, out the negative will far outweigh why it was originally a good idea. And then you'll procrastinate and stop yourself doing it. So it's really, really important to just know and have this level of awareness about how the brain works, so that you're aware that your brain does this kind of thing, and you can just be on your own team and really get the best out of yourself. It really does start with personal development and that work, that inner work.
Yeah. And, you know, to your point is that you have to be conscious. You know, you really have to be aware of the words that you're saying out loud, but also inside your head, because that's just a precedent that you're really setting, isn't it? There's a book that we always recommend to our clients. It's called The Four Agreements by Don Miguel Ruiz, and one of the agreements is be immaculate with your words, you know, because they are really powerful, aren't they? And
so powerful.
The other thing about, you know, you said so many things which I totally love about developing your level of awareness. And for any leadership program that we do, the first module, the first point of call is know thyself. Because then you are setting the foundation, and also you then have the right to lead others. You know what I mean? Like, if you can't lead yourself in a way that's true and authentic and clear, how can you actually lead other people in a way that, you know, is going to be those things as well?
I completely agree.
Yeah. So is there any other suggestion that you would have, Jenna, for new and emerging leaders who actually want to develop their level of self-awareness? Like, what are some of the things that they could do?
Oh, that's such a good question. How long have you got? I would say, first of all, is get good at observing yourself, like non-judgmentally. Observe yourself. And it's also really important to not box yourself and see, you know, only watch yourself at work, because how you do one thing is how you do everything, right? So look at your behavior when no one's watching you. And your emotional intelligence is so important. And the more you can work on yourself, the more you're going to be able to hold space for your team and get the best out of your team. And so, watch, observe yourself, and just practice that observing yourself, but with pure, total grace. Never, ever make yourself feel wrong for something. There's just no point. Like, shame is a very, very low vibrational emotion, and it's heavy. And I talk about this concept of life, where you've got all of your ambitions, all the things that you want to experience in your career and in your life in general, and you've got this house. Like, the house is your current reality, and at the moment, every seat in the house is taken up. There's no space. And all your dreams, everything that you want to experience and create and live, all the things, they're all standing outside on the doorstep. And they're right there. Because anything you imagine, you can create. Literally everything that we see in the world was once imagined in the mind's eye. So we can do it. But the minute you imagine it, the thing that you decide you want, it's landed on your doorstep. It's right there. But it's not going to come in, because it knows that every seat in the house is taken. As much as you're ready for it, it's not going to come in. So what you need to do is you need to see the seats in the house as alignment. So anything that is misaligned, anything that you are doing in your life that is not fully congruent with who you truly are and what you truly want and your identity and everything, you know, so people pleasing, that takes up a lot of space in the house. Stuff from the past that you are carrying around, like you've got, if you haven't done much personal development or healing, you know, I call it healing because it literally is removing the heavy things from the house that you've lived through in the past that you don't need anymore. They're taking up space. And when you do this work, you're reprogramming your limiting beliefs, for example, you're clearing so much space, and in your dreams can come. It's about creating space. And the more space that you have, for example, emotionally, when you do this work on yourself, you can hold space for so much. You just don't hold yourself back anymore. So I can't remember your original question, Jan, sorry.
Oh, just about how do you develop self-awareness? And so that
I've been going that long.
That's beautiful. Yeah. It's beautiful about the observation. Yeah.
Yeah, it's observing yourself, absolutely watching and just noticing without shame, without judgment, and never trying not to ever make yourself feel wrong. Like, this is another thing as well I've not even said yet. Perception is everything, because nothing in life is positive or negative. It just is. And how you perceive it is your choice. And so when you're perceiving something as as something that is basically disempowering for you, that's not helpful. Mm-hmm. So you've got the opportunity there to reframe it. How can I see this in a different light, in a different way? What's another perspective? And without judging, without making yourself feel bad, just coach yourself through it. Be more empowered. Like, that is the way forward, because it's like turning the light on, basically. If you're not aware, if you're not seeing what you're doing, you're just moving through life on autopilot, repeating the same unhelpful patterns that you've repeated all of your life, which are resulting in, you know, missed opportunities or disappointment or, you know, unfulfillment.
And when you, it's fascinating, like when I'm hearing this, I'm just thinking about all the people who hesitate, you know, like, I need to have that difficult conversation, but, you know, it's too uncomfortable for me. And so that's creating space in the house, you know, because
exactly.
And again, you're kind of limiting that potential, not only for you, but also the person who may be gifted when you actually do have that difficult conversation, or you do share your observations, and you're not about creating space. For me, you know, meditation creates that spaciousness in my mind, so I actually can allow those thoughts. And the other point that I thought was brilliant of yours is that hesitancy. You know, when there is a moment of hesitancy, your body knows, you know, your body can't lie. And so therefore it's so important to follow that charm and to back yourself when it does come to you. And there's a response behind why you do that.
Yeah, absolutely. And that thing that you were saying about, if you're putting off having a difficult conversation, just notice, what story are you telling yourself? Because you're deciding, you're basically predicting the future. You're deciding what the other person is thinking, how it's going to pan out. And you don't know that at all. That is one possible story in a limitless potential outcomes and potential realities. So notice what story you're telling yourself in your mind, and take ownership of that. You know, tell you, it's not necessarily true. You've decided one possible option, and that is more than likely not true, because your brain is trying to keep you safe. Mm-hmm. And actually, you, when you zoom out and see the bigger picture, you can see that actually having this difficult conversation is probably the right thing to do, because it's in the other person's best interest. When we act out of people pleasing, we try and predict how other people feel, and you can never, ever do that, because you only have one. Your brain is so unique to everybody else's, because the lived experiences and beliefs and the values that you have are so different from everybody else. So you cannot predict how somebody is going to respond. So you waste so much energy doing this, and our energy is finite. We choose where we place our energy. So claim all of that back. Decide not to do people pleasing, because ultimately, when you stop people pleasing, you act in alignment with what's best for you, and it is always in the best interest of other people too.
Yeah, because you're being authentic and you're being in integrity, so everything is aligned.
Yeah.
I love that, and it's always a great reminder too for all of us, you know, like, you know, like, where am I being out of integrity? Where am I off track? You know, like, and using as neutral language as we possibly can, you know, to your point about not being judgmental and harsh on ourselves. Just to wrap this up, I love the notion that you talk about, you know, the importance of self-awareness, creating that space, and just noticing what's coming up in the body. So if I'm a new and emerging leader, and I am working on myself, but I'm still finding that things are just challenging for me, is there anything else that I could do that would support my leadership, or at least, you know, help me move through some of these difficulties?
Yeah, absolutely. I would say invest in a coach, somebody who can mentor you and see your blind spots, because we can't see our own blind spots. And as much as we want to, when we're under pressure and we have a team, we need support. And who's supporting you? Who's coaching you? You know, and see the value in that. It's so, so important. It can be such a game changer, and not even just for your career, your life, you know?
And it doesn't matter what trajectory you are on, a coach at some point, you know, throughout really does help you see the things that you're just not, I don't know, privy to in your mind. Yeah, yeah. I love that idea about the blind spot. So, Jenna, if people wanted to reach out and find you, like how would they find you and what are you working on at the moment?
So my absolute passion is my own podcast that is called Bigger Than You, and it's a mindset, subconscious and energetics podcast. I forgot the third part. Mindset, subconscious and energetics podcast for entrepreneurs. That's the title, but ultimately, like in the intro, in the jingle, it's actually for visionaries, somebody who has a soul, a purpose, you know, that's bigger than them. That's where the name of the podcast came through. I'm very intuitive, so I like really kind of just lean on my intuition, and it's how my whole business has evolved. So that is where I pour out everything, you know, intuitively. I speak my heart, I speak what's on my mind all the time, and that I would say, if you've enjoyed listening to me and the things that I've shared today, head to the podcast to get more. And in terms of where you can find me and connect, LinkedIn, I am Jenna Holloway on LinkedIn, or my website, jennaholloway.com. But yeah, LinkedIn is, I'm fairly pretty active on LinkedIn.
Beautiful.
Or Instagram.
I'm sure people will. This has been such a fascinating and energetic conversation. I really enjoyed it. So thank you, Jenna. Really appreciate it.
Thank you so much. I've loved being on. Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you for joining us on the People Leaders Podcast. For show notes and other resources, please visit us at peopleleaderspodcast.com. If you have a leadership or management question or subject you'd like covered on the podcast, please contact us at podcast@peopleleaders.com.au. The People Leaders Podcast is brought to you by the Experts On Air Podcast Network.